Bezras Hashem Yisbarach, the first halacha topic that we will discuss from Daf Nun is the Gemara that we concluded with, and that is, what happens if someone forgets and puts food into his mouth? What is he supposed to do in regards to bracha? Here, there is a very important machlokas between the simple reading of Rashi, as well as the opinion of the Rambam, against the Ravid brought down in the Rosh, as well as brought down in the Rashba. Of course, like in most instances, you could find traces of it in Shulchan Aruch. Zok de mechaber in Simin Kufay in Beis, shochach vehichnis mashmul esef pil beloi bracha. Someone put food into his mouth without a bracha. Bolon ve'inu mevarech aleihem bracha rishonim. As the mechaber will go on to discuss, we're talking about, in our instance, as the Gemara already described on the bottom of Nun Amud Beis, that if it's a food that will be disgusting if one would spit out, in such a case, the halacha is that you're supposed to swallow it if you're not able to move it to the side of your mouth. What is that? Drinks. When it comes to drinks, so then in such a case, you're supposed to swallow and you don't make a bracha rishona. You're an onus. Says the Ramah, v'yesh omrim, d'mevarech aleihem. And some say the halacha is that you're allowed to swallow it and then make a bracha. V'chein nira ikar. And this is, according to the Ramah, the primary position. This is another instance where the Mishnah Berurah rejects a yesh omrim of a Ramah. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkatan, hey halacha l'maisa v'chein nira ikar v'das rov ha'posim de rishona she'ena mevarech rak bracha achronim shasa kashir. An individual who by mistake forgot and drank and swallowed, so then in such a case he does not make a bracha rishona, he only makes a bracha achrona, provided, of course, that he drank the shir. Siv Beis, the Mechaber spells out other instances, and that is when you're able to spit out the food, and it won't be disgusting, so then you should do that. That the Gemara on top of Nun Aleph Amid Aleph told us is most ideal, that the mouth be empty, yimale pi tilasecha. If, however, it cannot be done, and you can move it to the side, like a candy, so then in such a case, then you move it to the side of your mouth and make a shackle. So three categories. If it's disgusting and can't be moved to the side, like drinks, so in such a case you swallow. Machlokis mechaber ramah, whether you make a bracha. And the Mishnah Berurah says, halacha, that we do not make a bracha, even though the ramah says, l'chein yir ikar. If it could be moved to the side, so then in such a case, then one should do that. And even better, if it could be spit out and not be mos, maybe in some candies as well that could apply, that probably depends on time, place, and culture. And then in such a case, then the halacha would be that spitting it out would be ideal, and then putting it back into the mouth. What's behind this machlokas between the Ramah and the Mechaber? And thereby, we will also point out a chumrah that's introduced by the Shaar HaTzion, which is recommended by Poskim. The Rosh quotes the Ravid, who says, why is it that a person cannot make a bracha afterwards? In a case where an individual is an ones, in such a case, then you can make a bracha afterwards. It's only if an individual missed making a bracha intentionally that it's too late. However, if a person forgot, says the Ravid, you're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'chatchila, you're supposed to do it over l'asiyasan, you're supposed to do it beforehand, as opposed to b'diavad, you should be able to make a bracha afterwards. La halacha, we're assuming that you can't. However, the Rosh says, why can't you be able to do it afterwards? One can't suggest that this machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah revolves around the most fundamental question in all of Perek Ketzad Mevarchin. This is something we spoke about on Daf Lamed Hey in the Halacha section as well as in other instances. And that is a Birchas Hanenin something that is matir, one, to eat food? It's usher to eat the food. And then you make a bracha and it allows you to eat the food. And therefore, the bracha is there to make the food yours, as the pasuk says, "Lashem ha'aretz u'meloa." But at the same time, the pasuk also says, "Va'aretz nasan l'vnei adam." As the Gemara in Lamed Hey describes, And the Gemara says it becomes yours after the bracha. If that would be the logic, then the position of Rashi, the Rambam, and as quoted, codified in the Mechaber, makes a lot of sense. And that is that the bracha is only there for beforehand. Why would the bracha exist afterwards? If a person was an ones, he was an ones. But there's no need to make a bracha afterwards. One could suggest, and this is the approach of the great Talmud Chacham Rabbi Aryeh Pramarchik, the Mechaber of the Sefer Torah Zoraim, as well as Emek Bracha, in his first piece, in Hilchas Berchas Hanenin, the Emek Bracha suggests that even if you hold, like the Maskanas HaGemara, that the Berchas Hanenin is a matir, there is as well a hoda'a component to it also. Because he claims that the Rosh's position is not tenable if we say that the requirement for a Birchas Hanenin is simply based on the idea of matir. It must be that if a person is forgot, then lechatchila you're supposed to do it beforehand to be matir. But b'di'eved, there still is another component. There's tzvei dinim. There are two components to Birchas Hanenin. One beforehand. One is the matir, and the other is to give hoda. And if you were an ones or a shogeg and not able to make the bracha beforehand, you can make one afterward. It should be noted that in the halacha from the daf on daf lamin hey, we pointed out that one of my great rabbeim, Rav Heschel Schefter, proved against the way Rav Soloveitchik had said in Lomdos and Shir, he proved from a halacha perspective, halacha lemaisa, that we do not presume that a Birchas Hanenin is a matir, but rather is hoda, and the proof is that when it comes to an onein does not make the bracha, ayin shum. The Emek Bracha develops this idea one step further, where he points out that his pshat would present the following nafgamina. What happens if a person swallowed less than a shear of liquid? In such a case, would he also, according to the Rush and according to the Rama, make a bracha? If on the one hand the source for Birchas Hanenin is a matir, then what we are suggesting is that before you have any hana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, you need to make a bracha. However, the notion that it's a hodah is also found on the Gemara earlier, just a daf before, on Memches Amabez, where the Gemara introduced the svara, kishuhu sava mevarech, if you're satiated, you make a bracha, kishuhu rav, lo kol shekein. Now we know that a bracha achrona is only made on a shiur of achila. Argues the Emek Bracha, the hodah component will only cover something with a shiur, a kezayis, possibly a melo lugmav, but if it's less than that, then one would not make a bracha. Hence, the Emek Bracha presents a beautiful pshat in the Ramah, but he cuts down the scope of the Ramah's halacha. Even if there are those who have a tradition to follow the psak of the Ramah, that if you forgot, you make a bracha afterwards, the Emek Bracha argues that the mechayiv of that bracha comes from the Kal v'chomer, Ashkechan kishu sava, kishu rav, lo kol shekein, and that Kal v'chomer will only be talking about a shear. So what emerges is, even if we follow the Ramah halacha lemaisa, which the Mishnah Brura does not encourage, but nevertheless, the bracha after one eats, if one is making a shahak on the abidvaro, will only be if he had forgotten and drunk a shear. Bezer Hashem, this concludes our first topic. Bezer Hashem, our second var halacha is the topic of diluted wines and undiluted wines. The Gemara had told us that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the halacha is that one cannot make a borei pri hagafen on wine that is not diluted. The Chachamim disagree, and they say that you still make a borei pri hagafen. Nevertheless, the Gemara quotes the opinion of Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina that when it comes to the kol shel bracha, then in such a case, one is supposed to put water inside. The Beis Yosef in Simen Reish Ayin Beis understands that Rabbi Yossi Ber Chanina said of the Chachamim that they agree that when it comes to Kol Shel Bracha that you need to add water, that that's only a wine that is entirely not drinkable without water added to it. However, the Torah adds in Reish Ayin Beis Hey, and this is quoted as well in Shulchan Aruch, that lechatchila it's best to dilute the wine in order that it reach its optimal and ideal state of drinking, the most comfortable for the average person. However, the Ramah adds an important caveat. Says the Ramah, V'yeno shelonu, this is Reishayim Beis Hey, Yoser Tovim Heim Belo Maziga. It's better not to dilute our wines. The Ramah is assuming that nowadays, Niskatnu Adoros, compared to the strength of wine that existed in the time of the Gemara, keep in mind, the Chachamim allowed a Bar Pri Hagafen even on wines that we would consider entirely undrinkable. Says the Ramah, in our days, the wines are different, and it's better for one not to add water. Hence, when it comes to Kiddush, says the Ramah, better not to add any water to the wine. My Rebbe Rav Nevensal adds that his father-in-law, Reb Chaim Zev Finkel, Zichrono Levracha, from the Finkel dynasty, was Mesupak if Yenos Eretz Yisrael, which tend to be stronger, fall into the category of the Ramah, or maybe because Baruch Hashem, Eretz Yisrael, now, and already in the time of Reb Chaim Zev Finkel, began to produce very strong grapes, maybe nowadays there would be no problem of adding water to wines of Eretz Yisrael. Nevertheless, it seems that L'chatchila, for Kiddush, one should not add water. This topic takes us from Chelek Gimel in the Mishnah Berurah to Chelek Beis. And that is the issue of how much water, if added to wine, obviously not ideal for Kiddush and the four kosos on the night of Pesach, causes the wine to lose its bracha of Borei Pri Hagafen. This is a complicated sif in Shulchan Aruch. We will, Bezer Hashem, simplify it. In Simen Reish Dalet Sif Hei, we are going to summarize the approach of the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Lamed Beis. The conclusion of the Ramah is that if there's 1/6 of wine to water, you still get a Borei Pri Hagafen. The Mishnah Berurah adds that's with the condition that it has the smell and the taste of wine. With that condition in mind, one can make a Borei Pri Hagafen. The Orchas Rabbeinu in Chelek Gimel quotes the Chazon Ish as saying, for sure, 3 times the amount of water to wine is acceptable. However, again, the simple reading of the Ramah is one could be lenient and be able to make a Borei Pri Hagafen up until 6 times. However, one should be aware that this halacha only applies if you're adding water to wine. And here we're going to talk about 2 other instances. If you're adding water to grape juice, or you're adding beer to wine in such a case, or another drink to wine, the halacha is different according to many poskim. Number one, the Ramah in Simen Reish Beis says the following, V'imnis'arev yayin b'shechar azlin acharov. Here you don't follow 6 times, but rather you follow the majority. Imarov yayin mevarech bar priyagofen, v'imarov shechar mevarech shahakol nie bedvaro. Beer, of course, gets a shahakol. If the majority is beer, says the Ramah, you don't follow the 1-6 rule, even if it would have the reyach and the tam of wine. It is mistaber, I am not looking at any particular poskim, but it is mistaber that the same would apply if one added a majority of other drinks as well, that it would lose its bracha Borei Pri Hagafen. In fact, when I was a child, my father, may he be well, coined a drink called grunge. We used to mix grape juice and orange juice. That was in the old country where there was plenty of grape juice and orange juice, and the juices weren't as expensive as here in Eretz Yisrael. In such a case, presumably the bracha would depend on what is the rov. It should be noted that the Gra disagrees with this Ramah. It's quoted in the Be'er Halacha, in the beginning of Simen Reish Beis, where he says that you could even go 1-6 with beer and other drinks as well with wine. However, the simple reading of the Ramah is as we mentioned, and the Mishnah Berurah, despite spending time in the Be'er Halacha being Ma'arich on the Gra, seems to go with this approach. Finally, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, in the beginning of Chelek Aleph, in his tshuvas, has an important tshuva about grape juice and so on, and wines, and there, Rav Shlomo Zalman suggests that this halacha of adding water and saying that the water becomes nullified to the wine to the point that you could even have up until six times the amount of water to wine and still get a Bari Priya Gafin does not at all apply to grape juice. When it comes to grape juice, it gets a Bari Priya Gafin because it is a min, it is a species of wine whose process began as wine but was stunted in that its alcoholic content wasn't allowed to develop. However, at the end of the day, it only gets a Bari Priya Gafin for that reason. But it doesn't have the strength of wine. If that's so, if one adds water, so then Rav Shlomo Zalman was choshesh that it loses its bracha bar priya gafen, and therefore it would be recommended for those who follow the psak of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach not to add wine to their grape juice. This Be'ezra Hashem concludes the halacha topics from Daf Nun.